I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Give it to me.
Hey, I'm Molly Wood.
Hey, I'm Tom Merritt.
Welcome to It's a Thing, the weekly podcast supported by you, where we take the good, we take the bad, you take them both, and there you have the facts of things. Thanks for joining us.
I'm Tootie.
Tootie's the only one I know, so same.
There's Natalie and Blair,
right, Natalie.
And Joe. And also, then if you go to season one, I can't name more, but those are the big four from the later seasons.
Nice. Look at you. Bravo. Bravo, producer Rich. Bravo.
Yes. Yes. Well done. Fast becoming a close second to the shout outs are the custom opens from Rich Straffolino.
Give the man a little field and he shall run. Run, he shall.
Like a gazelle.
Like a gazelle.
He may be running to the store to get a wedding gift, because that's my first thing. Everybody's getting married.
Yeah.
Wedding. Boom.
Boom.
And this isn't just like Bloomberg reports, although that is true. It's also, I don't know how many invites you have, but I've got a fistful of them.
Really?
I only
have one. But I have one.
Yeah, but it's a big one, so it fills your fist.
It kind of does. That's what she said. I'm so
I
sorry.
Don't know. Did he? She? Anybody?
I don't know.
It's all the pent-up wedding that didn't happen during the lockdown. Granted, there were a lot of Zoom weddings. That was a thing, right?
Yeah.
But not everybody did that. A lot of people waited. And now that some parts of the world, anyway, are traveling again, yeah, you got those parts of the world wanting to get married. I even have a destination wedding. Talk about ambition. I mean, I don't have one. I was invited.
Right. I wonder.
In Mexico.
So it's funny because I was actually thinking about the wedding today that I'm invited to in August. And I was wondering if it's going to happen. Because a lot of these are rescheduled weddings. Not all, but many are rescheduled weddings that had to be postponed and now are unfortunately being postponed into the middle of a little bit of a resurgence.
Mm-hmm.
And so
we had one that was supposed to happen at the end of last year that I remember thinking when we first went into lockdown, like, oh, by December, surely we'll be able to attend their wedding.
Right.
Nope.
Nope.
And so they changed it to a destination wedding in Mexico and scheduled it for this December, which when I got the invite, I thought, well, certainly by December that will. Who knows? Who knows?
I don't want to buzzkill it, though, because it is fun. It is great for all those vendors. I know that, you know, people have waited a long time and I hope all those weddings can happen.
Yeah.
Because
you know what they say?
Definitely.
Life is what happens while God is laughing at you.
Oh, brutal.
I'm just mashing up those two sayings.
And is eating a box of chocolates.
Life is like a box of God laughing at you.
Chocolates. So this next thing is a thing that I just found out about from both a combination of a friend and TikTok and verified by CNN from just last month. And I am horrified and angry and confused. And yet, apparently, bike shorts are a thing. Not just for riding bikes.
I was going to say, bike shorts have been a thing, even for just working out. Like, oh, I'm not riding a bike, but I'm going to wear my bike shorts for the workout.
Yeah. Nope. No.
Oh.
Now bike shorts are here as a thing, as clothes that you wear out in the world on purpose. And then you quote people who say things like, they look great on every day. No, they don't look great on any. No, they don't. No, it's very 90s, I will say. The like baggy t-shirt with bike shorts and some high tops is a super duper 90s look. And so that makes sense. But yes, influencer and freelance marketing consultant Stephanie Arendt quoted on CNN as saying, they really do look good on everyone. No, they don't. No, lady, no.
Molly doesn't even need to beg to differ. She just differs.
Just differ. Stylist Rachel Nosko, who called the trend turned to mainstay versatile, said she's always finding new ways to style bike shorts for everyday wear. We all love the go-to bike shorts and blazer combo.
What? No, we don't.
No, we don't.
Who's all? Don't what? I am not part of all.
But lately, I'm changing it up and wearing them with a frilly blouse and some chunky sandals. Like, I don't know who these self-hating bees are or who pays them to be like, yeah, bike shorts are hot. No, they're not. You put on a bike short that stops, and then hopefully you don't have like a little bulge where it stops. And then you put on like shoes and socks. And so basically you just have the most unflattering chunk of sausage leg showing. And then the freaking fashion hegemony is like, babe, that looks hot. No, it doesn't.
I could see it with the sandals, but the blouse, that's blazer side for me. Like the blazer with the bike shorts.
Come on.
I mean, granted, fashion is all about what everyone decides to accept and you get used to. So anything can work if you look at it that way. This is not working for me. I'm not a fashion icon. I am not one to judge, but it sounds like perhaps you, Molly, who are a little more fashion savvy, agree with me on this one.
I thought you were going to say you are one to judge, which is true. I am, and I'm so irritated by this. And yes, there's just a bajillion photos in this piece from June, because sure enough, apparently they're back. And then someone also tried to tell me they were comfortable.
I'm not sure about that either. Bike shorts, tennis shoes, and a t-shirt? Sure, sure. I mean, that's just an extension of the athleisure trend that we talked about years ago, right? Where like, oh, you just wear your workout clothes out in public,
yep,
and it's become acceptable as casual. Casual
the
wear.
Blazer not is with so the baffling blazer. To me. We all love the bike shorts and blazer. I'm sorry, what? Who?
No, why? We don't.
And the what? I am like literally struggling. I'm looking through this entire set of photos confirming my confirmation piece about whether bike shorts are in fact a thing, and I cannot find a single photo that I would consider flattering, except maybe the influencer who said that she likes it has a really cute photo of herself at the Millennium Falcon.
I was just going to say that was the one I was going to pick. If you said you couldn't find any, I'm like, one of the Millennium Falcon.
But it might just be because...
Yep. And it's not because of the Millennium Falcon.
It might just be feeding a whole bunch of things that we also like.
Maybe subconsciously.
And then we're like, it's cute that she's a little dorky.
That could be it.
Because it looks a little dorky. I think we're being tricked. So anyway, they're a thing.
I will say there is a place for bike shorts outside of athletic wear. Well, not outside of athletic wear, but outside of like their purpose, right? Outside of working out, if you're going to accept athleisure, I think there's a place for the bike short in there somewhere.
Blazer.
But it's not this big of a place. They're making it sound like a castle, and it's a very small.
It's an ADU
cubby hole somewhere.
Cubby hole is even better. Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, there you go. If you buy them, don't feel bad, because most likely, like the friend who told me about them, you're just going to be wearing them at home while you're on Zoom calls.
Nobody's gonna see him anyway. That's probably how it starts,
also,
right? People are like, I'm just gonna leave
now
these on,
realizing
see
how
it.
Freaking great that thing goes with your next thing.
90s shirts, big oversized 90s shirts. You just heard Molly mention the big oversized 90s t-shirt. Big oversized 90s shirts
They're
in general
so back.
Are back. Just the big old puffy Joey Seinfeld shirt. That's, it's no more like tight form fitting. I'm so happy. I'm maybe it's because I was in my 20s in the 90s and it's nostalgia, but I did not like the form fitting trend of the past couple of decades. It's nice to get loose.
Honestly,
again.
I really feel like your jam is the big old button down. It just seems like it works. I can just see in my mind, I'm picturing you right now, and it's a big old button down.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well into my CNET days, 2007, 2008, I was still doing the big button-down shirt over the t-shirt.
Yeah, it's all bad. I mean, I think I was saying even a few weeks ago that all my son is buying now is like gigantic jeans on eBay. But now it is coming around to the big, huge shirt over your stupid bike shorts or whatever. But yeah.
I'm sorry, the bike shorts are, they're fighting against the, they're fighting upstream. Baggy
they
is
are,
coming
but
back.
Baggy over snug. Cause if you think about it, like the 90s, all I ever wore were huge tunics and stretch pants.
Mm-hmm.
Damn, I need, yep. I want a huge tunic
you're right.
And
the stretch,
stretch
pants were pretty big.
Right now.
All right, maybe
on
the bike shorts have
today.
A,
maybe no,
bike shorts have
they
hope.
Don't. They will turn into stretch pants.
It. Yeah. They're like short
stretch pants.
Yeah,
but they're
going to
turn back
though.
Into pants. And I bet you anything that the like stirrup pant is going to come back. Do you remember the stirrup pant? Probably not because you're a dude.
Yeah. No,
but
that's
yeah.
a good call.
Because
yeah,
those
absolutely.
Those awful
absolutely
bodysuits with
yeah.
the like with the snaps at the crotch, those are back. Which, let me tell you, girls never learn the lesson about pain. Ever.
I miss my old stripy, big, oversized 90 shirts. I wish I had never got rid of them. I would pull them back out now. But I'm very excited. I'm very excited that the 90 shirt seems to be back. Because
yeah.
I'm seeing pop stars doing it. Right? Like super hip, 20-year-old, maybe early 30-year-old pop stars with the big baggy with the big baggy shirt.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, oh, yeah.
It is
no, that,
way
they
back. And even the big baggy pants and
a
whole entire, like, oh, I found some stirrup pants on Saks Fifth Avenue.
There yep. you go. There you
the
go.
The
90s Done.
Are officially Done. Here. Oh, my God. It's
well, tight shirts that are forced you to show your belly. It's time to have
seriously.
A memorial for you. You are gone. You are dead.
Light
a candle.
Wow, these are everywhere. Oh, I'm excited. Except for the problem with me was I was always so tall that the stirrup pants were always stretched to the gills. So maybe they'll start coming in long sizes now.
Well, whenever something comes back, they often modify it for the
ha!
Shortcomings
no
of the
pun
previous
intended.
Round. Maybe they'll figure
hilarious.
That out.
Yeah, that's yeah. definitely back. However, we have spent enough time in the 90s. And now I'm going all the way to the other trend that's happening right now. We have two generations colliding in pop culture, the 90s and the 70s. Mm. And I say 70s because a big hit in the pandemic has been candle making, which is so 70s. I started
yeah.
seeing.
That takes me back to
oh, really?
Silver Dollar City, the amusement park that. They had candle making was a huge deal in there. Yeah. You'd always go and do the candle baking.
Oh
Mom
goodness,
and my sister always make
yeah,
some
yeah, it takes me back to being like 4 or 5 in our house in Helena. And my mom was making candles mm-hmm. like crazy.
Oh, yeah.
She did all the, I feel like I will just trace this through all the things that my mom was into. Like there will be candle making, then there will be like beads and beading.
Mm.
That was a loud sound.
Because we did
macrame.
Yep. made it. Macrame got on the
there
boat.
There will be beading.
So what?
I
yeah,
bet.
Beading uh-huh. needs to get on
maybe
the boat.
Maybe some Wicca.
Yeah.
We'll make a comeback.
Oh,
astral
totally.
Projection. Yeah. Tarot cards are already
tarot
back.
Tarot cards.
Yep.
Tarot cards made it on the boat. Yeah.
Are you NESs? Yeah, totally.
Crystals.
And yeah. candle making, which just evidently there's a big story in Vogue about it, about how it just became kind of the like 2020 go-to. It's definitely still happening and creeping out. I'm not sure why the Vogue picture, all the candles are either boobs or butts, but I guess it was maybe just this one person.
Well, is that
probably,
just 'cause it's
probably and then of course people know, put them on Etsy and everything and made fancy ones. I'm just seeing like them on Insta.
Is it still candle making if you just take existing candles and melt them down
not.
And make new candles out of them?
Yeah. Because it's just candle it's just reforming. Yeah.
yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Candle reclamation.
And yes, apparently people are making money, but I think just making pretty ones. So there you go. If you're looking for a hobby as the Delta variant heads your way, ha ha.
The yeah, I was going to make some Delta change, bring in the money, Delta your bank account with candles, but
no, just put on a big baggy t-shirt, some bike shorts, because no one's going to see you.
Hide in it.
Melt down some candles.
Hide from the Delta variant. Just get a vaccine, actually.
Yes,
really.
Definitely.
That's your,
do that.
You know, it's not complicated. Let's get to the feedback. Feedback at itsathing.me. These are things that you have found and were nice enough to share with us. Thank you for that. Paul wrote in to confirm something we talked about during the bonus content last week. If you're not aware, Patreon users get extra conversations by Molly, myself, and Rich before and after the show. And during that bonus content, someone made the comment that Lunchables were charcuterie for kids, to which Paul responded, charcuterie boards are Lunchables for adults.
Hey there. That is true. That is true.
Also, I found a section of Whole Foods yesterday, immediately texted Rich and Molly. It was called charcuterie, but it like barely had anything in it that would show up on an actual section. Charcuterie board. It was like, it's just the salami. It's just the sliced meat
so
and cheese section.
Though.
Really
so beautiful. The charcuterie boards, by the way, really struck a nerve. We got quite a bit of feedback, including Jody from Minneapolis, setting the record straight on Minnesota charcuterie boards. She said, first, I love you guys. You bring joy every week. Thank you. This week, some other Minnesotan wrote in about charcuterie boards making it here. I want to say I've been having them since about 2010. IDK where he's been eating, but they've been pretty standard fare for a while. Heading over to Patreon because you're wonderful. Ah, Jody, you are.
I like it. And that's the way things work, Jody. Like someone will say, like, I'm starting to see this. Is it a thing? And then Jody comes along and is like, oh yeah, this has been a thing, right? Guy can confirm. So
Luke M, by the way, in the Discord says, forgot Barbara to email that we got two charcuterie boards for Christmas.
Wow. Barbara wrote in with a potential thing from the youths. When I mentioned charcuterie boards are a thing to my kids, they started talking about chess boards, checkerboards, etc. Apparently, it's a thing to use a word similar to a popular word, but completely wrong. The pandemic was the panorama or the panic at the disco. Is this a thing?
Or are my kids just weird? I do have a friend who calls it the panini. Yeah, the pandemic, and that was funny. But
really? I mean, that is a low-key thing throughout time, to like just intentionally call something the wrong word for comedic effect. I think Molly and I and Rich, we do that all the time. Whether it's becoming an extra level of thing about,
I know, now we're
going
to have to look.
Interesting,
I wonder.
Question.
Okay, let's see.
You're not noticing it with your window into the teens
not
with your child, it sounds like.
That I can think of.
Which is
exactly.
Just one window, so it's not definitive.
Yeah. Maybe your kids are more fun than my little absolutist socialist. Hard to say. Might just be a thing.
You mean
thing.
Sickleist?
All right. And now an email on the subject of tree sex. Hi, Molly and Tom. Thanks for hosting such a fun podcast. It's a real palate cleanser for me at the end of the long day. I'm so glad. I'm so glad that this podcast is still fulfilling its mission of not being the damn news. However, says Sarah, I would like to correct some tree facts. Tom stated that all trees have both male and female parts, which is true for many trees, but not all of them. Plants that have both male and female reproductive parts are called monoecious, from the Greek for one house, while plants that have the male and female reproductive parts on different individuals are called dioecious, and therefore have individuals that are completely male or completely female. One neat example of a dionysius tree is the ginkgo tree. Male ginkgo trees are more highly preferred for ornamental planting since the females produce very stinky seeds, but males do not. According to an article I found from the University of Georgia, approximately 20% of all tree species are dioecious, meaning I assume that 80% then are mono. So you are right to assume that that's like a lot of them. Anyway, Sarah says, but not all.
The majority, but
Sarah
not all.
Sarah is our friendly
is
neighborhood biologist. Sarah, I feel like we're going
to
be calling on you again. Yep.
Thank
Love
you,
it.
Sarah.
Love
this
it.
This is excellent. Now, why do they call them male versus female? That's my next
I'm
question
assuming
for Sarah.
One
like,
produces
is there a
offspring?
Standard? What's the standard? Yeah. You know? Yeah.
Yep.
No,
Love it.
That's really
so great.
That's really cool. That's awesome. And then Fordo on toasted ravioli and other ephemera. Fordo writes, I had never heard of it before hearing it mentioned on Superstore last year, meaning she'd never heard of toasted ravioli until she heard it mentioned on Superstore, which is an NBC sitcom set in St. Louis. Then I heard you guys mention it tonight when I was out on a walk trying to break in my fourth version of Birkenstocks. I do not understand why there aren't more stories about people's bloody blistered feet in these things, because that is totally a thing from where I'm standing slash limping. Anyway, Superstore is a hilarious show, LOL funny, with lots of St. Louis references peppered throughout that I'm sure you'd appreciate, Tom. I lived in St. Louis G for half a minute 30 years ago, and they're even fun for me to hear. They often mention the Kirkwood store, which is my old neighborhood. Ah, Kirkwood. Yes. Kirkwood, Missouri on Christmas is why KMOX is called KMOX. That's me, not Fordo. Back to Fordo. The accent that the character uses in this video clip doesn't sound at all like a St. Louis accent to me, though, but maybe I'm wrong. Sounds more maybe Minnesota. I can help you with this, Fordo. Anyway, if you take nothing else away from this email, take away the fact that you need to add Superstore to your watch list. I've seen every episode 3 or 4 times at this point. It's that good, created by the guy who created The Office. I've watched Community, Arrested Development, and 30 Rock with my 15-year-old niece, and she even loves the show. So I bet Eli would as well. Molly, sometimes hard to find something that everyone can enjoy.
I agree. We totally watched it, and it's awesome. Oh, it's so good.
I have not seen it. And the husband of one of Eileen's colleagues writes for it.
Oh, my goodness.
I feel so bad that I haven't watched it, especially his full St. Louis stuff.
It's a lot to watch.
Also, I believe that the character's accent is attempting to be a South St. Louis accent, which is a little rare on the ground these days, but my mom had it. That's how I know about it. And it was a very South St. Louis accent.
Oh, yeah.
It was very much like that. Cassette. She would say cassette, and we would make fun of her. Because we were all, you know, saying warsh and stuff like that. So we had standing to make fun of the South St. Louis accent.
Oh, my goodness. Spectacular. Yeah, you got to watch it. You got to watch it.
So that's my guess. I believe that's it. Anyway, Superstore.
Love it. Yeah, thanks, Fordo. Always wonderful to hear from you and get recommendations and a stream of consciousness. My favorite. All right, it is time for our other favorite part of the show, the shout outs. Thank you to those of you patrons who support us at the shout out level and make this act of weekly creativity possible. Today's shout outs are based on the 1964 Supreme Court opinion in Bertman versus J.A. Kirsch Co., which I quickly looked up and found is about a case of spoiled tomato paste.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Classic precedent setting spoiled tomato.
Already amazing.
Case. I mean,
I don't know how he does it. No one knows how producer Rich does it, but it's a work of art week after week. I'll take one. Here we go. I am aware of the argument that an able, alert, ever diligent Lee Price could have, had he tried hard enough, discovered that Kevin Sill had appealed, even in the closing hours of the 60th day. I do not doubt that had Eric Duncan's counsel been Superman, his X-ray eyes would have told him that a notice of appeal was being filed blocks away in the courthouse. Or, had he been a lawyer with no clients but Eric, he could have spent the 60th day hovering at the clerk's office to see whether Jake Woods would file a notice of appeal.
But Eric's counsel, so far as the record shows, is not Superman, nor should the law expect him to be. The record is barren of any suggestion that he fell short of the standards generally expected of a capable Gabriel Cohen. He relied, as Joe Hoods in our system of jurisprudence are entitled to do, on the principle expressed by Louis Saint-Amour when he said that due process means a law which hears before it condemns. A chance to be heard, of course, requires notice. Mike Akins had no notice of James C. Smith's appeal in time to file his own appeal. A system of appeals which fails to give this notice, whether by statute or rule, fails to provide the most elemental requirement of due process.
Oh my God, the gavel! Bravo!
Oh, that was so good. This sounds like a really interesting decision, too.
I know. I'm like, I want to read all about it. It literally originated with spoiled tomato paste. So there's that.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like you can't get off on a technicality.
My goodness. And he has 60 days like to appeal. And it sounds like wow, this is so great. Man, Producer Rich is so good.
Good.
Really second only to you, our patrons, the ones who make the show possible every week. Thank you for listening. If you become a member of It's a Thing at patreon.com/itsathing, like Tom mentioned, you'll get bonus content, an ad-free RSS feed, and access to our Discord, where you can hang out live during our recordings every week.
Yeah, there's lots of people in there posting pictures of TV judges. Join them. You can also email us your things. Feedback at itsathing.me. Bye. I'm speaking lies.
Politicians. Join them.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.